can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. In the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to Washing for Jesus Bible Study tonight. On the end of the week, don't y'all have something else to do besides listen to me talk twice a day? Thank y'all for coming by. We have important Bible study tonight. We're going to complete the talk about the Millennium Kingdom. Now, I have done it several times already. This is just another part to it. And last night, sometimes I assume that everybody that shows up has known me, but my name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this Bible study, also the host of the broadcast, Watchmen for Jesus. Family, I feel an urgency now lately to get the truth out as much as possible, what's coming, how we got here, and prepare people that listen to what's getting ready to happen. When you've got kids today coming on the internet with this, it's like the ice water challenge thing, whatever, it's all over with fad. They've set up fads to make it, as they call it, viral or whatever. Now I see why they call it viral, because it's like a virus. So the Ice Bucket Challenge, as I proved today, is in fact a satanic ritual. It's got nothing to do with ALS. Nothing whatsoever. And today earlier I talked about that on the broadcast, how deep it really goes. It goes very deep. And this, now I'd say 99.999% of those doing the ice water challenge thing have absolutely no idea of what they've really done to themselves. They have no clue. They don't understand the supernatural physics of this universe, of this world, that comes to your home. Freemasons, when you take a blood oath and you go inside the lodge, I'm telling you right now, it's in the Bible, the one they show you. When you take a blood oath and you join the Masons, you are immediately cursed. That's a fact. It covers it in the Bible. Not to take an oath at all. Matthew 5, 33, 37. James 5, it's idle words, as if you say them, that you mean them. There's no such thing as God saying, well, y'all know you're just kidding. It doesn't work that way. Well, what about those that took the ice water challenge and didn't know it? That doesn't matter. It's like saying that I'm looking at a bare wire and someone says, man, don't touch it. It's electrical. I don't see nothing there. Don't touch it. It's electrical. I don't see anything there. And you grab it. Well, you're going to have an afro right quick. If you're stepping in water, you're going to be dead. You understand? So it doesn't matter whether you believe it's in the wire or not. It's still going to kill you. That's how it is with the demonic realm. This is why Satan, the supernatural beings that's in the dimension you can't see, the one that talks about in the Bible, you know, the third heaven where God resides is in the Bible. The first heaven where the physical forces are, where we are, this is us right here, is the first heaven. You got a first heaven and you got a third heaven. You're missing something, aren't you? Yeah, second heaven. And discusses, tells you about the second heaven, but not as second heaven. But it talks about the second heaven without mentioning being called the second heaven. It's where the demonic realm resides. Satan is not in hell. He's going to go there. The fallen angels are going to go there. They're going to be sent there by God. That's why God created the hell, was for the fallen angels and Satan to be placed there in torment. There's a reason for that as well. Even besides punishment. I've talked about that before. Tonight's about the millennial kingdom, though. The supernatural world is as real as electrical wire. You can't see the electricity coming off of. It will shock you. No pun intended. The supernatural realm will be revealed to mankind once God has removed the protective hedge. The Freemasons at the highest level, witchcraft, Satanists, they have experienced the supernatural. Satan reveals the supernatural to them to hook, crook, steal, deceive, and to take their souls, them thinking they're going to be powerful. It will not happen. Freemasons, Eastern Stars, Knights of Columbus, get out of there. Your time is limited. You've taken that blood oath, we know. Get out of there and take Jesus as your Savior. Renounce the blood oath. And know that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Did you know that the 33rd degree Freemasons renounce Jesus Christ? That's a fact. All 33rd degree Masons renounce Jesus Christ. The 32nd degree, the 30th degree, two-thirds of them don't know this. They don't even know. Well, how do you know? Because I've researched it. Because I've talked to some. It's even documented. They're telling all your secrets. Because I said today, that once that the Great White Brotherhood, the fallen angels, have total control of the World Revolutionary Plan, they will start the execution of all Freemasons. They will kill every single one of them. That's a promise. And even God will allow it. Psalms 34:21. The evil shall slay the wicked. He will allow it because you've taken a blood oath against him in a satanic organization. But we do good. That's to cover up what the others do. Everything I'm telling you is documented. Family, get back to your families. Renounce the blood oath. Take Jesus as your Savior. And I would not wait around if I were you, because the times, signs of the times are showing. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and we're going to jump into the millennial kingdom and what that's all about. You know, too much fear-mongering going on. This ain't fear-mongering, I'm telling you. It's the same thing as saying the bridge is out, don't go down there. I don't believe you. The bridge is out, don't go down there. You can't come back up, it's too slick. You go trapped down there. Oh, you're being too negative. No, the bridge is out. That's not negative, it's telling you what's going to happen. It's the same thing. Don't fall asleep on a railroad track. Train might hit you. Oh, you're being negative. No, the train's going to hit you if you fall asleep and don't know it's coming. That's not negative. It's a warning. It's what the watchmen do. As a watchman, you can't have any allegiance to anything on this earth except Jesus and the true word in the King James Bible. That's the only allegiance you can have. Holidays, there's no holidays. Family, every holiday, Christmas, Easter, every single one, bar none, every single one, and can be proven, is pagan. Every single holiday. And the Bible confirms it. The King James Bible says there's no holidays. Sabbath is the only one. And Jesus Christ fulfilled that one. He also fulfilled tithing. He fulfilled all the commandments, but he fulfilled mainly the fourth commandment. He is the Sabbath. Yeah, you take a day, but it's a day that you choose. But holidays, Christmas and Easter, they're all pagan. I'm sorry, but they are. The holidays are chosen specifically for positions of the stars, the constellations, to like a flag them for their sacrifices, for their worship of satanic rituals, is what all the holidays are for. Same thing for the days of the week. The days of the week, literally, Monday through Sunday. Every day of the week is a worship of a certain fallen angel. Do y'all know that? It is. Day of the week and the month. That's why, you know, anymore, you know, when I started learning all this and teaching it and studying it myself, man, I'll eat the fortune cookie, but I never even read the fortune cookie. I mean, you see, the fortune has come true. You know why? When I use a tarot card, which I don't, if I was to read a fortune, say, wow, that really came true. Or if I did the horoscope thing, isn't that cute? Well, what I've done is the same as going to a seance, or going to a fortune teller, or a tattoo parlor, or whatever. I've given permission, or a Ouija board. These are all real. Family, I'm telling you right now, they're real. Look at the number of suicides caused by these apparitions and demons attached to the Ouija board. Look at the suicides of children that's occurred, actually happened. Then tell me they're just playthings. You will not be able to, because it's true. You see, but the demonic realm is real. And those that play with it, they're attached to you. And you got to renounce them. Renounce the blood oaths. And take Jesus as Savior. Cover yourself in the blood of Jesus. The more that God pulls away that veil, the stronger they get. Why does he pull the veil away? Because mankind pulls away from him. How so? We're up to 19 states with homosexual marriage and increasing. Abortions being made legal. Drugs being made legal. Child euthanasia being worked on to be made legal. Belgium's already done it. You have on the internet now this challenge I was talking about a little while ago. A challenge of the ice bucket thing going on. Well, now they got a challenge of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine? So now they got a viral challenge of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, denying the Holy Spirit. Why would they do that? But they do. It's now gone viral, as they call it. And getting rid of the great white Jesus or whatever. Family, it's getting hairy. We will dedicate the broadcast and start talking about the millennium. Lord, we thank you tonight that we come together in a Bible study. Thank you, Father, for bringing us together. Thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit can touch our lives and guide us in the right path and direction, Lord, toward your holy word in the King James Bible. Lord, please give us that discernment and wisdom, our courage, knowledge that, Father, we can spread the word, that, Father, we'll see the end times events through the Bible. We'll see through the deception and be able to help, Lord, to carry out your word and what taskings you have for us so thy will be done. Father, we know those times are coming. And for it, Father, we pray on to those, the belt of truth. We pray in to our hands on our bodies a breastplate of righteousness. We pray on the sandals of peace. We pray in our arms a shield of faith. And Father, put on our heads the helmet of salvation to guard our thoughts. Protect our minds from the technology and the supernatural influence. Father, we pray in our hands the sword of the Spirit, which is the almighty word of God contained in the King James Bible. Lord, we pray for our brethren for healing, families to come together, Lord, and protect children that are being sought after for these satanic sacrifices and kidnappings that's getting ready to take place for this month in October. Lord, for any events that may occur, Father, to guide us to help others as we witness the love of Jesus and to lead others to Jesus Christ. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I'll tell you tonight, we've pretty much doubled our numbers over the past 2 weeks. We've got a double number tonight. And I appreciate y'all dropping by. But family, there's one responsibility we all have. I may even lose some people right here in a few minutes. Responsibility is that once you learn the truth, and in your mind you're settled with the truth, always, always test out, no matter who's talking, no matter who tells you the truth, always question it. But one thing you can be rest assured of, that the King James Bible is a solemn, true word of God. That's the final authority on all doctrine and practices, is a King James Bible. No other Bible either, because they're missing verses, corrupted words, perverted, literally, by design. King James right now is the only one. I say right now because when the falling away happens, when the fallen angels come, when Satan and the false prophet come, there'll be the falling away. Then the man of sin will be revealed. Whoop, we're in it. Right now, the big push, massive push actually, is to try to demonstrate that the tribulations are already complete. If you know your Bible, just basic, you'll know that's a lie. The Nathan Leals, Quayles, Rob Sheba, Springmeyer, these all, even Billy Graham, they've all turned toward the New Age movement or anti-King James Bible. Specifically that. I've got quotes directly that sent to me by Ron Sheba, the Nephilim guy, and Springmeyer. Both blocked me because I was telling about the King James Bible. I've got the quotes in a file I keep on all of them. Most all the TBN, well, actually all the TBN, all of 700 Club are either Freemasons, Eastern Stars, and they're turning. John MacArthur says it's okay to take the mark of the beast. No, John MacArthur, it's not okay. You see, they're all turning. It's almost mind-boggling. Osteen, Joyce Myers, every single one of them are turning. Tom Horn, Ike, all of them. Family, it's between us and Jesus. Only Jesus. That's it. No human being, no pope, no president, no pastor, preacher, religion, country, flag, or whatever, patriotism, blah. Jesus is the only one. That's it. End of story. He comes before anything is Jesus Christ. The millennium, some of them say we're even in the millennium now. You got to be kidding me. When this thing starts, when the tribulations begin, we don't know when. Are you pre-trib, mid-trib rapture, post-trib rapture? Nobody knows, so how can you take a position? I'm pre-trib. Really? When's the tribulation? I don't know. Right, so how can you even take a stand? By the time you say, I'm pre-trib, I'm mid-trib, pre-wrath, post-trib, no trib, it's already too late. When it happens, it's going to happen. You don't have time to, why take a stand at the first place? The whole idea is to take Jesus as Savior and rest in that, end of story. That's done. Why do we have five camps on either side of the room, one in the middle? Over here on the left is I'm pre-trib. One on the right, I'm mid-trib. One in the back, I'm pre-wrath. You know, one over my behind my back here, and that's post-trib rapture. And I'll ask all of them, so when's the tribulation? And they all go say, I don't know. You know, so how can you take a position when you don't know when the tribulation is? How can you take a position on when the rapture is going to occur? And you can't. It's impossible. And what difference does it make if you were pre-trib? You still don't know what the tribulation is going to be. And by the time you say, well, I'm pre-trib, gone. So then what? You see, so what's the use of it? The whole idea is to take Jesus as Savior. That's the bottom line. That's it. Because if you don't, it don't matter when the rapture is, you ain't going. You see? Yeah, well, here's the reason for it. It's to keep us all divided. That's the purpose. I say pui. I say, I have to use other words nowadays. Can you imagine a Marine saying, oh, pui? Anyway, family, when it begins, you're going to have worldwide peace. The white horse is not the popery, as some people try to get you to believe. It is the Antichrist coming on a white horse. That means peace. With a bow, but no arrow. What does that mean? He's coming to conquer, but not with war. Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2. Now, I'm not going over all these. I'm just giving you kind of an outlay of where we are with the millennium. So, the first seal is a white horse. That means peace. The Antichrist will take over. New Age movement. Fall of the Catholic Church. Rise of world religions coming together. The Jews will start the sacrifice of animals and rebuild the temple. Wait a minute. That means the Dome of the Rock is there, so something's got to happen drastically, so they'll rebuild the temple where a mosque is there. So they got to have some kind of event between now and the first seal that will equal Armageddon to make it look like the first seal is really Jesus coming, when actually it's Anand Emmanuel, the fallen angel, when they call Yeshua, is the one going to appear. Will be the false prophet to bring in the Antichrist. They will have a physical body linked up to the bloodlines of today, the bloodline of the Merovingian bloodline, tribe of Dan. Who it is, nobody knows. But you'll know when it happens. That will begin the tribulation period. Peace and safety. At some point in time in that first 3.5 years, there will be the real World War III, the Red Horse. Red Horse is not communism, for goodness sakes. It's a real World War III. It will be devastating. And simultaneously, you'll have the Black Horse and Pale Horse which is famine and pestilence, disease, to wipe out as much of mankind as possible. And those that take Jesus as Savior and say, we repent, we believe in Jesus, we reject this Antichrist, we reject this new leader, his soul's under the altar. That'll be the fifth seal in that first 3.5 years. Men will come to faith in Christ and realize, oh, and they'll die for it. But their souls go to heaven. Then the sixth seal will be God getting everybody's attention. A great earthquake will unseat the plates on this earth. It will not be just some kind of tremor. It will be a ground-hugging quake that destroy everything mankind's got. No technology after that. Cosmic disturbances, meaning God's wrath is coming. The fallen angels will all be cast out of the second heaven onto the earth. The sun will become black as sackcloth, and the moon will become as blood. One blood moon, Hagee, Mark Blitz, one blood moon, not four. You lie. There's one blood moon, as the Bible shows. Hagee and Mark Blitz is lying to the world. They are dead wrong in four blood moons. Can they make something happen in their fake four blood moons? Sure, by technology, harp, supernatural whiz-bang smoke and mirrors to make it look like the four blood moons are realistic. They can accomplish that. Holograms I talked about today. But I'm talking about the real tribulation that's yet to come. And then the seventh seal, you have the two witnesses. 144,000 will come out in Jerusalem of the real Hebrew Jews, not the fake ones they got today. And they will evangelize those that have ears to hear. And they're the ones, when the Antichrist will take position in Jerusalem, and they'll call himself God, mid-tribulation, 3.5 years into this, then the ones in Judea will head to the hills, and there they will be protected. Then begins the silence in heaven, and then will come God's judgment on this earth. And let me tell you, it will not be localized in just one or two locations. It'll be worldwide at the same time. So these preachers like Bagley and all the rest of them are wrong. Carl Gallup, Nathan Leal, the whole nine yards of them, dead wrong about what they're writing. Their harbinger, Khan, all these, they'll be long gone. Long gone in their popularity, because then they will be hiding somewhere. Unless they've accepted Jesus as Savior and realize the wrong that they've done of improperly informing people the truth. The seven angels will be ready with trumpets. And when they sound the first trumpet, it's all God's judgment as announced by the two witnesses, whoever they are. Everybody argues over who two witnesses are. What difference does it make who they are? You just know that they're going to be, whether it's Elijah or Enoch or Moses, or two that you don't even know of. What difference does it make? There are going to be two witnesses that will have power from God to bring the judgments upon mankind announcing these trumpets. Nobody will be able to touch them. It don't matter who it is. Don't worry about who it is. God takes care of that. And then you got the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh trumpet, one hammer after another. Seventh trumpet, you have another earthquake in the sixth trumpet. This is a prelude to Armageddon. Earthquake always announces it. And the seventh trumpet brings on the seven bowls, one right after the other. There will be no rest for those that's wicked. The first bowl, second bowl, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh are all worse than trumpets. Famine is yet to come. And on the seventh bowl brings you Armageddon. The three unclean spirits, the three frogs as they call them, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan. Then there'd be a massive moving of the earth crust followed by 100-pound hailstones. Why in the world would God do that? Because you've got Nephilim back out. Giants, like they were in the days of Noah, will require 100-pound hailstones to kill them. Armageddon. Once Armageddon is over, the Antichrist and the false prophet will both be thrown in the lake of fire with everything else, everybody else, and torment for those going to hell. Then Jesus Christ will take his throne, the throne of David, will then complete the Davidian covenant. Descendant of David will be the ruler of the world. That's Jesus Christ. Hadn't happened yet, but it will in the millennium. He'll reign for 1,000 years. Satan will be chained. Why not put away? Because 1,000 years will be of peace. We'll have no influence of the seven areas he covers today. Satan will have no influence any longer for 1,000 years. He's chained to be allowed free again after 1,000 years to tempt the nations once more that have not been tempted that 1,000 years. You see, we here on earth now, as we've talked about in my broadcast over and over, we see the seven areas of politics, the religion, the education, the everything, entertainment, everything. It's all based on Satan. The hand signs and the attacks and all this thing. The rock and roll music and all this stuff. Everything we've been talking about. The Illuminati, etc. You have the chance to make a choice to accept Jesus or not. But in 1,000 years, they will not have had that choice. Because Satan is chained no longer to influence mankind. So to give them the opportunity to also make the choice, he'll be released from the chains for a short season. And apparently there's some that will take him. Even after being on earth for 1,000 years, there'll be others. Many nations will move over to his side. And that will be the battle of Gog and Magog. There'll be a portion of Gog and Magog in the second seal, through World War III. And then the final Gog and Magog is at the end of 1,000 years. Guess what? It'll lose again. Except this time is permanent. Satan is thrown in the lake of fire. Permanently. No way around it. He will join the Antichrist and the false prophet. As God destroyed the world with water in the days of Noah, God will destroy the earth again and rebuild it, recreate the heavens and the earth to a brand new heavens and earth that will then last forever. That's yet to come. And it's coming. But family, we got a lot to do between now and then. Whole lot to do. So that brings us up to speed of the beginning of the millennium. So this millennial kingdom, are we to understand this literally? You know, the millennial kingdom. Now, as I talked about last night, we talked about, and I've got it downloaded on my archives, that the purpose of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, I talked about that last night, the Palestinian covenant, also called the land covenant, you'll find Deuteronomy 30, verse 1 to 10. And God already fulfilled the personal aspects of the Abrahamic covenant. So Abraham was the first Hebrew Jew. None of those before, but all those after. He did go to the promised land. He did have many descendants. He is the forefather of many nations. including the Arabs through Ishmael, the Hebrew Jews through Isaac and Jacob. Yeah. Then the Davidic compound is God's covenant with David. That was his line that would never die out, that David's heir would sit on the throne of Israel forever. It's talking about Jesus. Hasn't happened yet. The new covenant, the work of the new covenant, was Jesus' death and resurrection. That was to reconcile hearts to God, to take back from Satan what Adam had lost. But this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. But the Jews there today are not the Jews that he's talking about. The real Hebrew Jews, 144,000, will come out of the woodwork, and they'll go back to the original language. Not the gibberish they're talking about today in Israel. There'll be a big replacement. Other promises were made. Covenants that God made with Israel are to be fulfilled in Jesus' thousand-year reign. He'll make his enemies a footstool. Jesus' followers will worship him freely. God promised the nations of the world that they would live in peace and with Jesus as a ruler. That's yet to happen. Many would have you believe that Sanan Emanuel is fulfillment of this one. You see what they're doing? So, what is the millennial kingdom? And should it be understood literally? Well, this millennial kingdom is a title given to the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. It's basic. There's others, theologians, that prefer to interpret the thousand years as kind of an allegory. They love to say it's allegory. It's symbolic. That way I can manipulate the Bible any way I want to and say what I want to. It's tricky, isn't it? They understand the thousand years is kind of a figurative way of saying a long period of time. Not a literal physical reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. However, six times in Revelation 20, verse 2 and 7, the millennial kingdom is specifically said to be 1,000 years in length. So if God wished to communicate a long period of time, he would have easily done so without being explicit and direct, repeatedly mentioning it in the exact time frame. The Bible also tells us that when Jesus returns to the earth, he will establish himself as king in Jerusalem. Not in America, not in the New Jerusalem. Nope. In Jerusalem itself, Israel. And he'll be sitting on the throne of David. Luke 1, 32 to verse 33. He is specific. And the people waited for Zechariah. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The throne of his father David. I thought Joseph was his father. No, Joseph wasn't his father. God was his father. Uh-huh. So why does it say Father David? Because it's normally passed from the father of the reign down to the son. But through the bloodline of Mary, he inherited the right to be king of the Jews through Mary. But David's in their bloodline. His biological father is God. The mother is Mary. The inheritance is David. Aha, you see, that's why. The unconditional type covenants demand a literal physical return of Christ to establish the kingdom. So back to the Abrahamic covenant, promised Israel a land, a prosperity, and a ruler, by the way, and a spiritual blessing. You'll find that in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. So it brings in also the Palestinian covenant, which promised to Israel a restoration of the land and occupation of the land in Deuteronomy 30 throughout verses 1 and 10 to 10. So this Davidic covenant promised Israel a king from David, his line, that would rule forever, giving the nation rest from all their enemies. Wasn't Solomon, it wasn't Nathan, it's Jesus Christ. So, at the second coming of Jesus, these covenants will be fulfilled in Israel. And it's kind of a regathering from the nations. Matthew 24, verse 31. The real regathering. Converted to, by the way, Zechariah 12, verses 10 to 14. And you notice some of these verses I don't read? Because if I do, I will not be able to get finished. You all can look these up, some of them. I will read 10 to 14. And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and the supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. A little prophecy going on there. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for the firstborn. In that day shall there be great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadadrimon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart. The family of the house of Levi apart, their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and the wives apart. All the families that remain, every family apart and their wives apart. He's going to restore the land under the rule of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now the Bible speaks of the conditions during the millennium as a perfect environment physically and spiritually. It'd be a time of peace. Are we in a time of peace now? And you're going to probably say, is that a trick question? Obviously the answer is no, we're not. So how can they say we're already through the tribulations? Micah 4, verses 2 to 4, and Isaiah 32, verses 17 to 18. It'll be a time of peace, joy, and comfort. So the Bible also tells us that only believers will enter the millennial kingdom. Because of this, it will be a time of obedience. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Of holiness, of truth, the knowledge of God. And you know, Christ will rule as king. You'll have nobles and governors will also be rule benevolently. And Jerusalem will be a political center of the world. The verses are the following, for you to follow up on it. Micah 4, verses 2 to 4. And I also have this recorded, so in case you missed something. Isaiah 32, verses 17 to 18. Isaiah 61, verses 7 and 10. Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 2. Jeremiah 31 to 33. Isaiah 35 verse 8. Isaiah 65:16, Isaiah 11 verse 9, Habakkuk verse 2, verse 14, sorry, and Isaiah 9 verses 3 to 7, and Isaiah 11 throughout 1 verse 1 to verse 10, all in between. Isaiah 32 verse 1. Matthew 19 verse 28. And lastly, Zechariah 8 verse 3. So now, Revelation verse 20 and 2 to 7. When you read that, what did I say it was? Let me go back to it. Revelation 20 verse 2 to 7. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Cast him in the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him. They should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years would be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose for a little season. And there you go. And I saw thrones. Isn't there a movie called Thrones? Oh, those tricky boogers. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in the hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as sand of the sea. So there'll be a lot of people fighting in that battle of Gog and Magog at the end of 1,000 years. Remember Revelation 20, verse 8, when they say that today in Syria we're bombing. It's a battle of Gog and Magog or Armageddon, or it depends who you're listening to. Well, they're both wrong. You see what's going on? They're saying it already. But fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured those. It's not nuclear war. You not have anything nuclear. You not have any technology. This is supernatural power. Revelation 20 verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire, brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Freemasons would heed this next verse, 20 verse 11, Revelation 20 verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Because family, this great white throne judgment is where those that rejected Jesus Christ will be judged. And I saw the dead, Revelation 20 verse 12, small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. That means that those that's been in hell for the entire 1,000 years or before of every man and woman that's lived will be pulled out of hell of torment and then judge the great white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000 years, for any good works they might have done, they'll get a different place of hell, of different varying judgments and torment. The Freemasons are taught that everybody goes through that, but that's not true, because they fail to tell everyone that they're telling this to about the judgment seat of Christ. That's that those accept Jesus Christ and are being rewarded before the end of the tribulation to be the saints. Two judgments, judgment seat of Christ for rewards, 5 of them. Depends if they qualified. It's what's going on. It goes on to tell you, 2014, in the sea, 2013, gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. There you go. Back to it. When he's done judging, they go right back to where they were. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Then it would behoove those that use the corrupted Bibles for teaching to read Revelation 22:18-19. That's not a pleasant, people keep forgetting that. It's pretty straight. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, and this is talking about the entire Bible. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. God don't forget that. So those that use the corrupted Bibles and teach from them with verses missing, and those that, like Doug Dynasty, that's getting ready to do their own Bible next year, better take heed. Ellen G. White, all these, Joseph Smith, all of them, Hindu, whatever, when they start messing with the book of the King James Bible, they better take heed. What's going, God won't forget this. You see, this is going to come back to haunt a lot of people in the supernatural realm. Man, don't play with this. Don't play with it. But Revelation 20, verse 22 to 7, gives precise time periods of the millennial kingdom. And even without these scriptures, there's countless others that point to a literal reign of the Messiah on the earth and the fulfillment of many of God's covenants and promises rest on a literal, physical, future kingdom. And there's no solid basis for denying the literal interpretation of the millennial kingdom, that the duration is 1,000 years. We're toward the end now of tonight's study. And I will actually continue this next week as well, about who will occupy the millennial kingdom. Why is God going to release Satan after 1,000 years? I've covered that already. I covered that, didn't I? Well, I got that one anyway. Well, you know. Several other aspects of the millennial kingdom I will cover more detail on next week. Family, everybody talks about, as I started off a little while ago, about all this fear-mongering going on. Nobody's talking about the hope. Nobody's talking about what's getting ready to happen after. You know? They won't keep you in fear. What happened to Peter when he had fear? He's walking on the water. When he got fear because the water scared him or whatever, he started sinking. He lost his faith. How about the woman that had the issue of blood in Luke? She is thinking in her head, in her heart, her mind, She is thinking, all I have to do is touch his robe, I'll be healed. He didn't look at her. He said, well, smacked her on the forehead or kicked her like some of these evangelists do, what they do, the crazy things they do. Benny Hinn in his flying cloak and Todd Bentley and kicking people and all kinds of weird things. Kundalini. Family, that's demonic. It is 100% demonic. Kundalini, holy laughter, holy drunkenness, all this stuff. Good gosh almighty. But all she thought was, she is thinking it. If I just reach out and touch her, she is thinking it. He didn't even look at her. Jesus didn't even look at her. She touched his robe. She was healed instantly. Jesus in Luke, Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? And the disciples said, what do you mean who touched you? Everybody's thronging you everywhere. They're, you know, everybody's touching you. No, out of a whole crowd, one woman had the true faith and belief, like the Roman soldier did about his servant. He said, I believe you're the Son of God. Can you heal my servant? Jesus told him, go home. So yeah, he's healed. How about Lazarus? You ever think about that? If he could heal the servant of the Roman legion, the Roman leader, whoever it was, I forgot who it was, without even going to the house, right? When they came to see Jesus about Lazarus, he said, I'll be there. I'll be there. What do you mean, be there? Why can't you just do it now? No. He wanted to do it in front of people for the glory of God and to give us a lesson today. What lesson? When he finally got to Lazarus, he'd been dead for like 4 days. Man, he is smelling raunchy. Woo-hoo! Smelling bad. Because he was dead. Graveyard dead. Not out cold, not in a coma, not just whatever. He was dead, man. So dead he was in rigor mortis and smelling bad. And they'd put him inside the tomb. Not to be so graphic, but I have to. He wanted to make sure everybody knew he was dead. So they could see how he raised people from the dead. That nobody could say, oh, he's just knocked out. And there's no question he was dead. But he didn't heal him back 3 or 4 days before. Why? Because he wanted to show the glory of God, in the glory of God. When he came up to the grave, everybody was crying and tearing clothes and all that kind of stuff. Jesus wept. Why would he weep? He knew he was going to raise him from the dead, so why would Jesus weep? Several reasons why. Because of their lack of faith that he was the Son of God. Because of their torment of him dying, of Lazarus dying, they were just all tore up. He felt their heart. But also, it hurt his that they still didn't believe. You'll see him again. Yes, we know we will in the end times, but he's dead now. That's not what Jesus meant. So he went up to the grave with a stone there, big stone, big rock. He told them to move the rock away. Now, why did Jesus do that? Why couldn't he make a big Hollywood stand and wave his hand and make the rock move itself or explode like Hollywood would have made him do? No, he told them to move the rock. He says, you, move the rock. And that's when they said, move the rock? What do you mean he smells bad, man? He stinketh. Move the rock. Okay. Move the rock, guys. So they're pushing. Can you imagine the disciples, are still not quite believers, are thinking, oh my gosh, what's going to go happen? Oh, this is embarrassing. Is it? Yeah, I don't know. Ah. But Jesus walked right on up there and they moved the stone. What does that mean to us today? That he comes up to us in the same way. But we have to move that stone from our heart. We have to open up to him. To let him come in. Let him call us dead back to a life again. To be born again. Like Lazarus. So he goes up to the mouth of the tomb. He didn't go inside like that silly Bible miniseries that Downing did. It was ridiculous. Hollywood so massacres the truth. Jesus goes inside the tomb and all kinds of stuff, whatever. But Jesus was outside the tomb and called for Lazarus with a loud voice. Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. He calls us to come forth in a loud voice. Well, Lazarus came out. Hello. There you go. Imagine he had to take a bath too, don't you? So he came out, whether he scuffled his feet, because he was fully clothed up, fully wrapped up like a mummy. Whether he floated out, I don't know. Whether he scooted his feet out or I don't know. But he came out. Yeah, they had to unwrap him. They didn't have to unwrap Jesus, did they? And Jesus wasn't wrapped up fully either. Remember, they put a napkin on his face, right? It means he wasn't wrapped up. So the shroud is a fake and a fraud. The shroud is to show you Sananda Emmanuel, the false prophet. That's what that shroud's all about. They didn't wrap, the Bible shows you that they didn't wrap Jesus up fully. They had a folded napkin over his face. Mm-hmm. So, he's coming back. Take Jesus as your Savior. Don't wait around. Increase your prayer life, your fasting, practice. Start slow, not fast like I did. No pun intended. But you got to better plan it out, let me tell you. Plan it out. Naysayers will come by the dozens. Family, work, friends, strangers. YouTube, my tube, this tube, that tube, whatever tube it is. MySpace, Facebook, whatever. They're going to come at you. Hard and fast. If it hadn't happened already. People are going to start seeing the supernatural evolve. The supernatural starts appearing at times when they wouldn't expect it. Supernatural is going to start coming out. Be able to pray our full armor of God upon you every day. Guard your thoughts, your heart, witness to others. And use this time as practice for what's to come. The hope, and I don't mean, well, I hope it happens, not that kind of hope. The hope is it's coming, but the hope is not the fear-mongering. Greater is he in you than is the rest of the world. You're not of this world. Satan is of this world. Those who follow him will fall away. Pray that they don't. Witness to others. And be prepared. Because we have no idea when it's all going to go down. But when it does, it's going to happen suddenly. Well, family, we're at the end. We're at a Friday. I don't know about you all. I don't know. I can't say for you all. But for me, man, these weeks are flying by. Weird dreams going on. I don't know. Something's a little different. I dreamed the other day, vivid, of a flying dragon. I kid you not. And it was the group I was with, kind of the population. You're always fearful. Every street you went down, you're looking for that giant, that's that dragon. It grabbed people. I had a dream that way. And I could see the dragon flying over the, you know, and someone told me, I said, well, it's about war coming. I don't know. I just tell you what the dream I had was. And it was vivid. And it's like the Godzilla thing going on. You know, you're just like, he's around, the Nephilim are around, the giants are around. Which street are they going to come down? Let's look for him, you know. That kind of thing was actually happening in this dream. So, I don't know. And I don't want to get strange on y'all, but that's exactly what happened. And I found it very curious. Anyway, let's close, and we'll... Y'all have a great weekend. Lord, we thank you tonight for Bible study. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for our brethren. We pray, Lord, that you'll give us discernment and wisdom. We pray for healing of our brethren, our family members, and to bring families together. Father, we pray for the protection of children. Now, especially that these occult days are coming up and the sacrifices of children, that you'll protect those, Father, that you bring some home. Lord, to give us that mind, give us that wisdom, discernment to see the end times coming, that though we can help others as witnesses, witnesses to his love, and to lead others to the direction of Jesus. Father, we pray for next week that we have Bible studies and broadcasts that will bring the truth. And all these things we pray, Lord, in the name of our Son Jesus, your Son Jesus, Lord. Amen. Family, have a great weekend. And be prayerful. Be thoughtful. And read your Bible. King James Bible, family. King James Bible. Hang in there. So, y'all have a great night, great weekend. And we'll see y'all next week. And also, remind you, John Kirkler is playing our broadcast and Bible studies. Random basis up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He has sponsors up there. Just check every now and then. See how many times he plays me on the radio. That's all really we like is he does that. We appreciate that. He's got sponsors up there. Use his sponsors if you have things you got to do up there. He's got his sponsors, I think, listed there. And use his sponsors and promote his name, John Kirkler. What we get out of it here, my broadcast is just broadcasting. He runs them randomly because he just agrees to. That's what that's all about. And we appreciate that. Now, I keep saying we. I don't have a mouse in my pocket or nothing, but I have folks that are friends and close friends. Some I've seen, some I've never seen, some I've talked to, some I've met. You know, we're all the same. And they send me information, I send them information, so I see kind of a we, you know, because we're all in it together, and it's just not me per se. I don't have a staff. I got me and this cat. That's my staff here at the house. Yeah, you know, that's it right there. But actually, I got people helping me because they send me things. I send things back to them. We trade off back and forth. It's not I don't belong to organizations, movements, petitions, none of that stuff. I don't get involved in none of it. Nothing. I just follow Jesus and do what I do, and that's what I do every single day. And I do it for free, too. I do it just because I want to. That's it. So, all right, y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. This is the Watchman, signing off. Disappeared sweetly, and every fear I'd ever had just melted.